A very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, March the 28th, 2016. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, opposition MDC team member of parliament for Mabvuku, James Maridadi, says he will continue probing why Vice President Phekezela Mupoko continues to stay in a hotel despite his rebuff in parliament by the Speaker of the House last week.
I'm going to pursue the matter for as long as Vice President Mupoko is staying in a hotel and for as long as I'm a member of parliament.
Women's Affairs, Gender and Community Development Minister Nyasha Chikwinya says plans are now at an advanced stage to launch a microfinance bank that will finance women who are often sidelined by major banking institutions due to lack of collateral. And on the Youth Forum tonight, we feature Zimbabwean singer Brian Nira, who is representing the country on an American live music show, The Voice.
Wow, hope to stand. It is my debut album. When I started doing music, my parents never taught me to use music as necessarily a tool for like just entertaining people, but they always taught me to use music as a tool to bring hope and healing to people.
Opposition MDC team member of parliament for Mabvuku, James Maridadi, says he will continue probing why Vice President Phekezela Mupoko continues to stay in a hotel despite his rebuff in parliament by the Speaker of the House last week. Vice President Mupoko has been staying in a local hotel since his appointment and has come under fire for straining the government's coffers at a time when the country's economy continues to decline. Maridadi tried to question the vice president directly in parliament, but was rebuffed and told to put his request in writing, a move he says stifles democracy. Efforts to get comment from the Speaker of the House and the Vice President Mupoko by Studio 7 were unsuccessful. Studio 7's Jonga Kanzemiri speaks to Maridadi on the issue.
The question that I posed to the vice president was not necessarily a policy question, but the question that he does not need to research on was the person that relates to him directly. It was about why he's staying in a hotel when our economy is in the state that it is in. A vice president does not need to go and preach that our economy is in a bad state. A vice president who is staying in a hotel does not need to go back and research that he's staying in a hotel, because it's him who is staying in that hotel. That was my question. And when I need to write it down, I said, look, I don't see why I should write it down, because the vice president, I think, must be able to answer that question without having to refer to anybody.
So, were you satisfied with the speaker's response?
It's not even about me, it's about the country. No one in this nation will be satisfied by what the speaker did. Not a single person will be satisfied. Even the speaker himself, I don't think he was satisfied. That he knows what he did was wrong, and he shouldn't have done it. And he should have allowed the vice president to respond. I think that there are times when, as officials, as the duty bearers, we hide behind policies or procedures when we know that we are not supposed to hide behind processes and procedures. Like in this case, typically it wasn't a policy question, but it was about Vice President Mupoko. It's like if he comes to Parliament wearing and gumboots, and I ask him why he's wearing shorts and gumboots, and then I'm told to put it in writing as if he must go and research why he's wearing shorts and gumboots. He must be able to tell us straight away why he's wearing shorts and gumboots.
Are you going to pursue the matter, or you are going to let it lie?
No, I'm not going to let it lie, because an answer has not been given. I'm going to pursue the matter for as long as Vice President Mupoko is staying in a hotel and for as long as I'm a member of parliament. If he decides to leave the hotel next week, I'll ask why he stayed in the hotel for that long. So one day he left to answer that question. Why he stayed in that hotel for so long, that event that he has left, or why he continues to stay in that hotel in the event that he continues to stay in that hotel. So either way, that question he will have to answer it one day. If he doesn't answer it now, he will have to answer that question when it is asked by our children or their children's children, even from his grave. But why or someone will have to give an answer to that.
But is it public how much the government is paying for his stay in the hotel?
We are told the government is paying anything between $450 and $500 a day for the vice president to stay in that hotel. But remember, he stays in a presidential suite. A presidential suite is not cheap. Yeah? It's a room which comes with all the paraphernalia. It's an additional room with a lounge, with a dining, a bathroom, a separate toilet. It comes with everything that you can think of. So it doesn't come cheap.
That was Mavuku Member of Parliament James Maridadi speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri in Harare. Women's Affairs, Gender and Community Development Minister Nyasha Chikwinya says plans are now at an advanced stage to launch a microfinance bank that will finance women who are often sidelined by major banking institutions due to lack of collateral. In an exclusive interview with Studio 7, the ZANU-PF legislator for Mutare South says women have the capacity to contribute into the country's fiscus, but are being hampered by lack of access to finance. Chikwinya tells us more on the issue.
There hasn't been an institution specifically designed for women. This is the first of its kind in Zimbabwe. So definitely it's a step forward for recognizing women as an entity. It has never been here in Zimbabwe. This is just the beginning, but we have several other institutions specifically to address women's issues. And they're also encouraging the existing financial institutions to have financial inclusion programs in their banks specifically to address issues of women because of collateral issues. We have lots of hardworking women, women who have done well, but because they don't have collateral, they've been denied opportunities of growth. And this has also impacted on economic growth of many countries. So we are trying to open doors in that manner. And I've also alluded to what President Mugabe has said about women and women empowerment. He is affected to that bank and is advocating that we, the minister and other women, have more banks for women. And this will go a long way in ensuring that women access finance for the development of Zimbabwe and their lives at large.
And are you going to be partnering with any existing banks in the country?
Yes, we've already written to them, and those that want to partner with us, they are very open to that. Where there's money and where there's an opportunity, we must quickly jump there, because this is the only way we can help our women. And like I said earlier on, we are 52% of the population, and probably about 2-3 million women in Zimbabwe. I need your finance right now. And if somebody wants to partner with us for a good cause of this nature, we very much welcome that.
That was Women's Affairs, Gender and Community Development Minister Nyasha Chikwinya. In our rural slot tonight, we hear from a young teacher from Mashingo who says people should prioritize furthering their education in preparation for when the economy gets back on its feet. He tells us more on the issue.
I'm Junior Nkomazana in Kutu. I'm a student teacher. So I interact with the community and I socialize with the people in the community. And I move around as I do my research, because our college requires we do some research like fundamental and action. So I'm doing the fundamental research, which allows me to go for about 20 kilometers doing my research. So when I'm just asking about the economic challenges, what they tell me and what I see is the real thing, that they are facing a lot of hardship. And even transport, there's no transport. There are no roads going out. From the college, going back to the school that I am, we waited for a river for about 4 hours, because there is no any bridge. So how is transport network going to be when there are such a hardship of transport? But only more the fun camels, they can move, yes, but the truck cannot move. So how are they going to transport the mini to that place?
From your observation, what do you think is the way forward? You are a young student teacher. You're saying, do you think there will be jobs for you when you're done?
So now, as students, our enrollment was about 600 or so. And yeah, the situation which was faced by those who just qualified last year was very critical, because they were sleeping for about a week just trying to apply and just to try and get the interviews, but most of them are not employed yet, right? Because there is no suckers for these teachers right now. As the government allows that, there are few places, especially for the general course, but for the ECD, it is, for now, it is better because those who are doing ECD course, they can get vacancies even in town. But those who are doing general course, it's another story.
What is the difference between the two courses for somebody who might be looking at actually taking up one of these teaching courses?
The difference is ECD was introduced just a few years back, and it has got vacancies. Why? Because the ECD, we are talking about the ECDA and the ECDB and the infant. But the ECD, they care on teaching these young ones well. The general course, teach from grade 3, maybe from 10 years or 9 years going upwards, is general course. But from 4 years up to 6, 7, is ECD. So those who are dwelling on ECD now are at advantage.
So what is your recommendation for someone who may be listening out there who was thinking of taking up teaching as a course?
From my own observation from the situation which is in Zimbabwe right now, what I can advise to those who have not embarked on this education, like the course of teaching, right? I think we need to do this course. Maybe someday the situation is going to change. Because if you sit back and relax, because there are no jobs and the situation, the economy is down, you face again the challenge later when the situations have improved. So we are just doing any course that I can do. First, I look on my pocket finance. If I've got money, I'll go for the course even if I don't get a job. Because I can't predict what is going to be like in the future. Maybe things will just change one day. So I need to do any course that I can do.
That was Junior Mukoma Zana, a young student teacher in Gutu Mashingo. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Earlier this week, I had a chance to speak to Brian Nira, currently competing on the American musical show The Voice. Prior to competing on The Voice, Brian released a debut album in 2015 called Hope's Stand.
Hope Stand. It is my debut album. When I started doing music, my parents never taught me to use music as necessarily a tool for like just entertaining people, but they always taught me to use music as a tool to bring hope and healing to people.
So take the limits of your life and watch, just watch your life take flight.
So the vision of Hope's Stand is to be hope's triumphant return into our lives as a driving force, as something that we rely upon daily, you know? And it's kind of crazy. A lot of the songs that are written on the album were written while I was in Zimbabwe.
Take some chances and risk it all.
What are some of the standout tracks that you have, you know, in terms of what people are saying that they're really enjoying on the album?
I think one of my favorites is a song called Examine.
Let me submit to you. We re-examine who
is rich and poor, hungry and full. Let me ask you to give a new definition to the word wealth.
And it's a real fun, upbeat, just electronic driven track. It's really, really fun. But the message of the song, you know, it just goes so much deeper than just the cool beat and the and everything. The message is this, is that, you know, oftentimes the richest among us are the poorest within, and the poorest among us are the richest within.
The richest among us can be the poorest within. Your eyes can deceive you. What you see may mislead you. The poorest among us can be the richest within.
So we all have to examine, re-examine what our definition of wealth is, and that we are all in desperate need of hope.
Let me submit to you, will we re-examine who is rich and poor, hungry and full? Let me ask you to give a new definition to the world.
And you said that, you know, you want your lyrics to have a message, and looking at your religious background, you want your music to never overshadow the messenger. Can you talk about that and how important a religion has been for you?
Yeah, this is my thing. At the end of the day, I'm going to leave this earth, you know, whether it's by due to age or something else, I'm going to leave this earth. And so when I put out music, I want the message to far outshine me. I want the message to far outshine any vocal run that I could do, any vocal technique that I want the message to be what sticks, what stays here on earth.
So do me a favor, I ask this one thing. Before we're quick to judge, can we first look within? Grant me this one request and I'll rest my case. Before we say who's rich or poor, examine within.
And so, yes, obviously, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian who loves Jesus. And I believe that what the world is looking for can only be found in him. My music is a reflection of that, of who I am.
I think with that, Brian, I want to say thank you so very much for speaking with me today.
Absolutely, Tatenda. Majita Tatenda.
That was Brian Nira, contestant on the American musical show The Voice, joining me on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, make sure you join me next week.
This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 13860, and 15460 shortwave frequencies, and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. We now give you some music from Brian Nira.
Let me submit to you, we re-examine who is rich and poor, hungry and full. Let me ask you to give a new definition to the word wealth, and all it means to you. Behind the facade is a myriad of problems and money just can't fix. We're in desperate need of something great, something that's deeper within. Can deceive you, what you see may mislead you. The richest among us can be the poorest within your eyes.
That there was the music from Brian Nira, a track called Examine, brought to you from Voice of America here in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories. Opposition MDCT Member of Parliament for Mavuku, James Maridadi, says he will continue probing why Vice President Pelekezela Mpoko continues to stay in a hotel despite his rebuff in Parliament by the Speaker of the House last week. And a young Zimbabwean, Brian Nira, is making waves in the United States, where he's participating in an American music show, The Voice. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, March 20th, 2016. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.